Good morning. So my name is Kelly Jamison, and I'm a research scientist with the Bureau of STD Control at the New York City Department of Health. And I think that this presentation will be a nice complement to the one we just saw. So just a little bit of background. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or the ACIP, has recommended routine HPV vaccine for females age 11 to 12 with catch-up vaccination through age 26 since 2007. Since 2007, they've recommended routine HPV vaccination for males age 11 to 12 with catch-up vaccination through age 21. And the HPV vaccine is a three-dose series recommended to be given over a six-month period. Although the vaccine has been available for nearly a decade, HPV vaccine uptake has been slow, with national three-dose coverage among adolescent females estimated to be about 40% and about 22% among adolescent males. Although STD clinic patients are a group at increased risk for HPV acquisition, they also remain under-vaccinated, with a recent study estimating three-dose coverage among New York City STD clinic adolescent patients to be about 46% among females and a mere 12% among males. So this begs the question of why. Are these populations not accessing these primary care venues where they may receive these vaccines? Or are providers actually missing opportunities to vaccinate? And that's what this presentation will focus on. So this analysis, we sought to describe missed opportunities for HPV vaccination among adolescents who have attended public STD clinics. We had two data sources for this analysis. The first data source was our New York City STD clinic electronic medical record, otherwise referred to as EMR. And we extracted from EMR records of male and female patients aged 13 to 18 years who visited New York City STD clinics between 2010 and 2013. The second data source was the New York City Citywide Immunization Registry, which houses all immunizations for New York City residents through age 18 as mandated by law. And we did a cross-match between these two data sources. So we extracted our medical records, and we matched them against the CIR to identify all immunizations administered by any New York City provider through 2013. So this was not just limited to HPV vaccinations or those given in STD clinics. So we defined an immunization event as a unique date when a patient received at least one immunization. And again, this could have been anything. So it could have been another adolescent vaccine, such as Tdap or meningococcal, or it could have been something like the seasonal flu vaccine. An HPV vaccine eligible immunization event was defined as an immunization event occurring among patients aged 11 through 18. We had to cut it off at 18, again, because of the mandated reporting. Patients in need of at least one HPV vaccine dose, and for whom the minimum recommended interval between doses has elapsed. So if the patient had previously been vaccinated with dose one and was in need of dose two, at least 4 weeks had to have occurred between dose one and the current immunization event in order for that to be eligible. If the patient was previously vaccinated with dose one and two and in need of dose three, the immunization event date would need to be at least 16 weeks following dose two and 24 weeks following dose one. And we limited this analysis to patients who had at least one HPV vaccine eligible immunization event, and we excluded immunization events prior to 2008 for females and 2012 for males so that we began measurement in the full year following the ACIP recommendations. We identified missed opportunities for HPV vaccination, and a missed opportunity was defined as an HPV vaccine eligible immunization event where the patient did not receive an HPV vaccine dose. And we measured this in any setting. So again, this was not limited to STD clinics, and it typically wouldn't actually occur in STD clinics because at this time, New York State did require consent, parental consent, for patients under 18 to receive a vaccine. And we also measured missed opportunities irrespective of the date of their STD clinic visit. We calculated the total number of missed opportunities and examined correlates of having at least one missed opportunity, specifically looking at race, ethnicity, patient neighborhood poverty, number of STD partners, and STD history, and all of these correlates were extracted from our medical record. When looking at the female cohort, we sent just over 11,000 females to be matched against the CIR, 84% of whom matched. We did consider this a strong match rate. 16% dropped out because some patients are just unable to match for various reasons. They may have been non-New York City residents, or they may have provided non-viable information to match on, or sometimes our patients provide incorrect names or information. Among those who did match, 7,930, or 85% of the matched patients, had at least one immunization event during the female observation period of 2008 to 2013. 7,586 of these patients, or 96%, had at least one HPV vaccine-eligible immunization event, so that was the final N for this population. Among the male cohort, we sent just over 5,000 male patients to be matched against the CIR. 80% of these patients matched, 1,140 of whom, or 27%, had at least one immunization event during the male observation period of 2012 to 2013. 948 of these patients, or 83%, had at least one HPV vaccine-eligible immunization event during this time, and that was the final N for the male cohort. So in examining missed opportunities, we found that 57% of females and 49% of males had at least one missed opportunity. And when looking at the event level, we found that 40% of all immunization events resulted in a missed opportunity. When examining covariates among the female cohort, we found that race, ethnicity, and neighborhood poverty were significant predictors. Non-Hispanic females were significantly more likely to have a missed opportunity compared with Hispanic females. And females living in lower poverty neighborhoods, you know, otherwise known as wealthier neighborhoods, were significantly more likely to have a missed opportunity. Number of sex partners and history of STD were not significant. When examining correlates in the male cohort, we did not find any predictors to be significant overall, but we did observe that the lowest poverty, males living in the lowest poverty neighborhoods were significantly more likely to have a missed opportunity compared with males living in the very highest poverty neighborhoods. There were some limitations to this analysis. We do believe we presented a very conservative estimate of missed opportunities, as we are unable to capture primary care visits without any immunizations administered. So it is likely that these patients did actually visit these venues for more visits than what we've been able to capture, but we just weren't able to measure that because we were relying on the immunization registry data. Additionally, we were unable to measure missed opportunities among all adolescent STD clinic patients due to our imperfect match rate, and some patients also dropped out of our study as we restricted to patients with at least one HPV vaccine-eligible immunization event during the observation period, and this was especially true for males. So since we're only measuring missed opportunities for a subset of our STD clinic patients, the generalizability may be limited. So overall, we did find that providers are missing opportunities to vaccinate a high-risk population of STD clinic patients with the HPV vaccine. 57% of females and 49% of males had at least one missed opportunity, and 40% of all opportunities to vaccinate for HPV were missed. Females living in lower poverty neighborhoods and of non-Hispanic race ethnicity were more likely to have a missed opportunity. So where do we go from here? Well, actually, the Bureau of Immunization at the New York City STD Clinic has really scaled up their effort in the last year to improve HPV vaccine coverage. And they have taken from their CIR extracted providers who have high rates of missed opportunities and low HPV vaccine coverage, who see also a high volume of adolescent patients. And they have performed quality improvement visits, several hundred quality improvement visits, at which time they've distributed these HPV vaccine action kits, the contents of which can be found on our website. And this action kit included a letter from the commissioner, Dr. Mary Bassett, who we saw earlier this week, as well as explicit recommendations on how to limit missed opportunities and how to target patients and provide the recommendation for vaccination. They also tried to link providers to CME courses on how to facilitate the conversation with patients and parents in order to yield the highest acceptance rate as possible. In addition, we did find that New York City STD clinic patients are under-vaccinated for HPV vaccination, and previous studies have shown that STD clinics would still benefit from HPV vaccination, as they have been shown to be naive to at least one vaccine strain. So we would advise that STD clinics try to identify patients in need of and eligible for HPV vaccine and to provide the vaccine on site. And during the last analysis, New York City STD clinics were not vaccinating patients, but since earlier this year, we did begin to administer the HPV vaccine. I don't even believe we're in all of the eight clinics yet. I think we're in six of eight, and we've already managed to vaccinate at least, to provide at least one dose to over 800 patients. So there is a strong need. And I would just like to acknowledge my co-authors and open it up to questions.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Questions? Discussion? I have a question about the issue of parental permission is mm-hmm. one that's really difficult. How often do you encounter the issue where the parent comes with a young person and insists on a vaccination the young person declines?
Again, I don't think that STD clinic patients are presenting with their parents. But as of, I think, earlier this year, New York State did change their law to allow HPV vaccination without parental consent. So I think this, you know, the administration of the vaccine in our clinics really corresponded nicely with that timing.